You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
I love the book of Acts, and I love to see God's supernatural power at work. The sermon series that we're in right now is called A Rush, the Rush of the Holy Spirit coming on the scene and changing the world. I mean, in an instant, you see the power of the Holy Spirit coming. We've talked about a rush of power in the very first week, when all of a sudden, in the first part of chapter 2, the Holy Spirit descends upon the house, and people are filled with the Spirit. There's fire on top of the roof. If you would have been today, you'd probably be calling the fire department for that place, because, I mean, there were tongues of fire, like, just leaping out of that place. I mean, and there was crowds. The last week, we looked at a rush of understanding. There was crowds that showed up. And they were literally saying, what is going on in that house? And those crowds began to say, man, we need what these people have. They were hungry for God. They were God-fearing men who knew about God. They were probably had been in the synagogues and studied the Jewish traditions. And they looked at all of those different things. And they saw these 120 people be filled with the Spirit and their life set on fire. And they're saying, we want what they have. And it was so strategic. Because it was during the Festival of Feasts where people from all over the world, Jewish people from all over the world, had come to Jerusalem for that moment. And God shows up about 50 days after the death and resurrection. So about 50 days after Easter, the time that we celebrate Easter, this happened. And all of a sudden, the church was started. And literally, the gospel would be spread around the world from that one event. It would literally be taken to all the corners, the four corners of the world. It was incredible to see how God's power can move. And I want us to see something today, because I believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we're looking at our world today, it seems like God has somewhat been muted in our world. And I want you to know that if believers will pray, God had the same power to impact the world today as he did when we read about it in Acts chapter 2. God's power is still real. He can still move forward despite of what the obstacles are, despite what the world is saying. In fact, the darker the world gets, the brighter the light of Jesus shines. Amen? And it shines not through anything but you and I. So we can't get discouraged. We can't watch debates and be totally bummed out. We've got to say, listen, Jesus is still in charge. He knows what's happening. His power is still as good today as it was yesterday and will be tomorrow. We don't have to worry. He's still in charge. Amen. We know the power of the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. And if we'll let it flow out of our lives, it'll change the world. Do you know it was a dark time back when the book of Acts was written? I mean, you think about the 190 million people in the world at that moment, and 120 people experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. It was a dark time back then. And you think how God had set that strategically up to where the gospel would literally be spread to all the corners of the earth. There was no internet. There was no Facebook. Oh, life would have been horrible. There was no phones. There was no computers. There was no, I mean, you think it would take months to spread information like what we're talking about, maybe even years. And God strategically set it up that in one moment, there were people that would take the gospel back to all of the corners of the world, and the church would suddenly be set on fire. The power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power that God has. Listen, we serve a God who's powerful. We do not serve a weak God. We do not serve a God that's still in the grave. We serve a God who is triumphant, who is risen. We serve a God who shows the world his power. And we've got to believe it, and we've got to tell people about it. The power of the Holy Spirit is where we see that. That brings us up to the portion of Scripture we're going to look at today, the first sermon that was ever preached to the church. In Acts 2, 14 through 36, we are going to deal with a lot of Scripture today. So get ready. I don't know about you, but when I go to church, I want to hear the Bible. I don't care really what the preacher has to say as much as what God's Word has to say, amen? And so today I want to read you this Scripture, and I want to settle down in our heart. Here's the deal. The gospel is truth. And today, the sermon I've entitled is A Rush of Truth. No matter how we view what the Bible says, it's truth. We live in a world that loves relative truth. And today the gospel is absolute truth. We've got to look at the gospel and we have to say, Jesus, put your filter on my eyes so I can see what you're saying. not what I think it says, not what I think the world says, not even what the preacher on TV says. Lord, help me to know in my heart what you're saying to me. And that's exactly what was happening. When Peter stood up, he began to tell the people the truth. He began to say, listen, there's an experience that you just witnessed. Now here's the truth about it. Here's what you need to know in your heart, the truth. And I love this. Acts 2, 14 through 16 tells us, Peter said, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. This is a great picture. Because in some versions it says, Peter and the 11 stepped up to the plate. They stepped up to the plate. They were minimized. They had just watched their Savior be brutalized. They had just watched Jesus get his life taken. And here they are. They had enough guts and gumption and power of the Holy Spirit that when they saw these people asking, because we know they were amazed in the scripture above, they were amazed and perplexed, and they asked what was going on. And could you have imagined if Peter and the disciples would have said, you know what, we're a little afraid to tell anybody, so we're just going to back up and hopefully nobody sees us here. We're on incognito, the gospel undercover. The gospel is never meant to be undercover. The gospel and the power of Jesus was meant for us to step up to the plate and say, here's the truth. And what does Scripture say? The truth will set them free. They needed to hear the truth. They needed to hear the truth. He said this, Peter, he stepped up to the plate. Men of Judea, all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Listen. He was making a statement that the gospel was for all people, for all races. He said, for the Jews here, the Jews around the world, and for everyone, this gospel is for you. It's not for a selective group of people who've been chosen. It's for everybody. No matter what you look like, no matter where you're from, no matter what your history is, what your past is, Jesus, the gospel is for you. And Peter made that clear. And I love this. He goes on, and I think he had a sense of humor. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose. This is only the third hour of the day. He was saying, it's 9 a.m. How could they be drunk? How could they be drunk? It's 9 a.m. Think about it, folks. How could they be drunk? Remember that question that was asked at the end of the portion of Scripture in Acts 2 that we read last week? Where the ones that didn't accept said they must be drunk. They were trying to minimize it. When the gathered crowd recognized that something supernatural was taking place, they wanted an explanation. At this point, Peter stepped forward. He preached a powerfully anointed evangelistic service. Probably the most important sermon of his whole career. I love how he came right out and addressed the crowd's concern about the people being drunk. This wasn't just any sermon. This was a sermon, the most important sermon probably Peter ever preached. It was literally the launch of the church. What we sit and enjoy today started when Peter preached his first sermon. What we see today, the church of Jesus Christ, was started at this moment. See, this church wasn't my idea. It wasn't your idea. It wasn't a bunch. I mean, I know it was planted, but it was Jesus' idea. And he's in charge. This body, the bride of Christ, he's in charge. This sermon was the culmination of a history-making day. It would have been amazing to be on the front row of history to watch this play out as a disciple. I'm glad we're born now, though, because we get to see an outpouring of the Spirit in the last days. Peter brought the truth to the crowd that day. God used Peter to explain in a way that the people would understand. One of the things we talked about last week is Jesus wants to make the gospel personal to every person in the world. It's one by one. It's a personal gospel. It's a gospel that Jesus will speak to you and I. And this is exactly what Peter was doing. They saw the power of God in their lives in a supernatural way as the crowd looked on the upper room. I find it interesting because Scripture says that most of the people in that room and in the crowds, they knew God. They were God-fearing, but they never experienced God. Listen, you can know all there is to know about God here, but if you've never experienced Him, you don't truly know God. You don't truly know God until you experience the power of His Holy Spirit and you step out and you say, Jesus, I want a relationship. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. Because knowing God, the Pharisees knew God. They knew all there was to know about God. They could tell you everything, all the knowledge, everything there was. Listen, I'm not concerned about it. I want knowledge. I think knowledge is good. I think it's important to know and to, but we got to experience Him too. We got to say, Jesus, here's my life. I want to experience You in a powerful way. The crowds were amazed and perplexed because the people in the upper room were hungry for God and they were open to the moving of the Holy Spirit. It caused the crowds to notice the difference. These men said, what do these guys have in their lives? Look at this place is on fire. The power of God is here. What's going on? And Peter stood up to the plate. We see a direct correlation between the moving of the Holy Spirit and the moving forward of the gospel. The power of the Holy Spirit. We were given the Holy Spirit to empower us to go out and to preach the gospel, to go out and to share the gospel, to go out and to move the Great Commission forward. We were not given the power of the Holy Spirit to sit at this altar and have a Holy Ghost praise party. We were given the power of the Holy Spirit to go out. That's why the Holy Spirit came. Are you with me? We get so afraid. We keep it in our four walls. What are they going to say? What are they going to do? Peter could have been afraid too, but he said, Holy Spirit, I need Your power to go and step up to the plate. Our scripture gives us a great example of how this happens and what the outcome looks like. Many lives were added to the kingdom that day because Peter allowed the Holy Spirit to use him. God can use anyone who's willing to step up to the plate and be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Anyone. In fact, if you look at the disciples, they were a renegade. They were a crazy group of guys. All right, they were fishermen. They weren't the kings. They weren't the most well-spoken. Many of them had issues in their life. Aren't you thankful they had issues? Because we have issues too. And it doesn't mean that God can't still use us, right? In fact, if you have more issues than the normal person, God might be able to use you more. So if you're sitting in here with issues, you're in a good place. Peter had issues. Well, God, you don't understand. I got issues. He goes, great. I'll use you. Because people with issues, man, God can change their lives, and the story is incredible. But stepping out, He doesn't need you to be the best speaker. He doesn't need you to be the most creative with the most creative evangelism hook. He just needs you to be available and relying on the Holy Spirit. To walk up and say, here's the word the Holy Spirit gave me for your life. I want to share with you four key points from Peter's sermon that impacted the crowd in a powerful way. What was Jesus saying? What was the Holy Spirit saying through Peter? And listen, I think it's so important because I said it last week. You cannot have a powerful God, a powerful Jesus, and a weak Holy Spirit. You can't say, well, I love God, I love Jesus, but I don't know about the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to allow Him to. All three parts have to be alive and well to see what God wants to do in your life and through your life. You can't look at the Holy Spirit and go, well, He kind of freaks me out a little bit and pushes me out of my box. Let Him. Maybe your box needs to enlarge. Hey, man, I got a bigger box for you if you need me to get you one. How about we throw the box out the window? The gospel spread like wildfire. And it was because of times like this when Peter stepped up. The first thing, and this is not what Peter said, but it's what he did. Point number one, the gospel works. We see the gospel works. And Peter is a great example of the gospel working. One of the greatest testimonies is what people can see in our lives, not what we say. When the Holy Spirit comes in and transforms us and transforms a person's life, it will be evident to everyone around. So here you are, you're talking about Peter, right? Peter was the same man who denied Jesus three times just 50 days earlier. He was a hot mess. And he stepped up and he was going to be used to share the gospel with people around the world. It was proof that the gospel works. It was proof that somebody's life could be transformed by the gospel and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Here's some things about Peter that you need to know. He often spoke without thinking. He was brash and impulsive. Later on, he found it hard to treat the Gentile Christians as equals. He took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink when he was out on a lake. He was a man that struggled just like you and I. And what it tells me is it doesn't matter what your past is, it matters what your future is when you're trusting the Holy Spirit. I don't care what you've walked. Well, how could God ever use me? He doesn't know where I've been. He doesn't know what I've done. Got news for you, honey. He knows all that. And He loves you. and he wants to use you, and he wants to take your life and transform you. Well, you just don't understand where I've been and what I've done and how bad I was. Thank God you're not bad anymore. With Jesus, he transforms your life, and you're able to be used by God. So don't let the enemy hold you back anymore. Amen. Jesus had clearly spoken destiny over Peter. And I love this because, again, we see this principle that Jesus sees us how we can be, not what we are. Let that sink down into your heart for a minute. He sees you how you can be. He can look at your life and go, here's the potential of what I see in you. Even when the world is saying you have no potential, Jesus is saying you've got some potential. Look what Jesus spoke over Peter in Matthew 16, 18. And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. You know, his name used to be Simon, and Jesus came along and he changed his name to Peter, which means rock. And it was before Peter even preached his first sermon. Jesus came and he spoke destiny. Jesus sees what we can be, not what we are. He can see who we can become. He sees destiny and purpose over our lives. When Jesus chose his followers, he wasn't looking for models or perfect people. He was looking for real people who would love him. He chose people who could be changed by his love and then sent them out to communicate that his acceptance was available to anyone, even those who fail often. And the disciples were all an object lesson of this. Jesus forgave Peter, and he restored him after denying him three times. It was a perfect picture of the gospel. And now this man who had been restored and forgiven was standing in front of these crowds sharing the very first sermon of the church. When Jesus restores you and forgives you, he gives you a new start and a fresh life. That is the beautiful news of salvation. Don't ever let your past mistakes hold you back. Don't ever let the enemy tell you that you're not good enough and that God could never forgive you and then wonder how he could ever use you, because those are lies from the enemy to keep you right where you're at. No matter what sins you've committed, God's promises to forgive you and to use you effectively to serve in him. Again, we say that the gospel was for all people. Look at Acts 2:17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. The good news is the Holy Spirit and the gospel is for everyone. We are in the last days. And if you look at that prophecy that was given in Joel, it said, I will pour out my spirit in the last days on all people. I want to be those all people. I don't know about you. Point number two, Old Testament prophecies had been entirely fulfilled in Jesus. When Jesus came, when he was born, when he came and he died on a cross and he was resurrected. And see, to this group of people, that would have been important because they knew all of the Old Testament prophecies. They were waiting for their Messiah to come. They were waiting for their Savior to come. When it says that they were God-fearing men, they had the knowledge that Jesus, their Messiah, was coming. And it was important because in those days when they lived, the government was very oppressive. And they viewed that their Messiah would come to set them free from their government. Acts 2:16 through 21. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is Peter continuing to preach. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on earth below. Blood and rife and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great day, glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. Isn't it amazing these words still have power today? These words that Peter preached, if you remembered last week, that everyone knew exactly what Peter was saying in that crowd. The last days would mean to include all of the days before Christ's first and second coming. And it's another way of saying from now on. The great and the glorious day of the Lord means the whole Christian age. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was released through the entire world to men, women, slaves, Jews, Gentiles. Now everyone from this point forward could receive the Spirit. It was a revolutionary thought for first century Jews. They had been waiting for this moment, their promised Savior. Moses had been waiting. You think about some of the Old Testament people who had been waiting for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. They were hungry. They wanted to see God's power. Beside the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was one of the very first positive prophecies from the Old Testament to be fulfilled. God had fulfilled prophecy in the Old Testament, but nothing like what the people were witnessing at this very moment. All of these Old Testament people had waited. We have today where people can freely receive the Holy Spirit and they put them on a back room shelf. Moses would have given anything to have the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. Point number three, Jesus was the Messiah proven by his death and resurrection. Peter goes on to say in Acts 2:22-24, fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, signs, which God did among through him, as you yourselves know. What Peter was saying is all of the miracles, all the signs, all the wonders that Jesus did was through God. And it was his stamp of approval on Jesus that proved that he was the Messiah. He was accredited. Have you ever thought about that? It was Peter saying, God, Jesus is who he says he was. Those signs, the wonders, the miracles, that is his stamp of approval on Jesus. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to a cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Death does not have a hold on us anymore because Jesus rose from the grave. He was resurrected on the third day. The death and the resurrection has got to be the base of what we believe. You see, the Holy Spirit works together with Jesus to share the gospel. Peter made a powerful statement. Jesus was a man approved by God. Peter spoke forthrightly about the resurrection. As Peter preached the events of Christ's death and resurrection, they were still hot news. They would still be on the news of that day. It was just 50 days before they'd watch it all play out. They had all seen it, front row, front and center. They'd seen what Peter was talking about. It was less than 2 months old. Christ, his execution had been carried out in a public way before many witnesses. His empty tomb was available for inspection a short distance away from where they were at. This was real. This was physical. They could see the proof of his death and his resurrection. If Christ had not truly died, Peter's message would have been laughed at or ignored. If Christ had not been resurrected, authorities could have produced his body and put an end to this new faith right then and there. But Peter and the apostles had witnessed the risen Christ. They had seen him firsthand. They had experienced him firsthand. And now their job was to go in to all the world and say, we saw it and we're going to tell you about the good news and we're going to share all that Jesus has done. They saw it. Our faith and credibility rests on the truth of an empty tomb. For a couple of reasons. According to Paul, the resurrection of Christ means that he is the Son of God and that his word can be trusted. It means that his sacrifice for sin was acceptable to God so that we could be completely forgiven. So stop going back to your past sin. If God's already forgiven you, you've already been completely forgiven. So accept it and receive it. Jesus has already done it. You don't have to nail him back up to the cross again. He's forgiven you. It means that our Savior is alive and active and able to help us in times of need. It means that we too will conquer death. The Christian faith rests on the basic fact of an empty tomb. That's why when we see that tomb empty and it opens up on Easter Sunday, we should be shouting for joy because it's the basis of what we believe and who we know. That our God is not dead. He's not in a grave. He's not buried somewhere. He's alive and he's well. And he's right beside us to help us and walk through this life. That's the truth. And Peter said it. Peter said it. He's here to be with you. Point number four. Jesus has the power to transform lives. He has the power to transform you and me. The power to transform all of those people that had been sitting and listening, Acts 2:25-35. as we get ready to wrap this sermon up that Peter had been preaching, I'm thankful he wrote the sermon today. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope. You want to have a life verse? You want to have a set of life verses? Take this is what David said about him. I saw the Lord before me. Because of His right hand, I will not be shaken. Meaning that God's hand is with us. He will go before us. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices and my body will also rest in hope because You will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with the joy in Your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently, and this is Peter continuing to talk, that the patriarch David died and was buried and his tomb is here to this day. They can go see his tomb. But he was a prophet and he knew that God had promised him an oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Again, saying this was the Messiah. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of dead, nor did his body see decay. God had raised this Jesus to life and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. That is powerful. Jesus has the power to change our lives, and he uses the Holy Spirit to do it. He uses the Holy Spirit to do it. If we close down the Holy Spirit on our lives, there will be no life transformation. Life transformation, the key to our city is being a church that is alive and well in the Holy Spirit and not afraid of the Holy Spirit, not afraid of what He's going to do, but saying, Jesus, we embrace the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:27, we see the word decay. The audience understood what decay would mean. Jesus was not even in the ground long enough to see decay. There was not an ounce of it. There was not an ounce of death in Jesus. He transformed. Peter was clearly stating that Jesus had the power to transform lives, and it was confirmed by the Old Testament prophecies. I love the very last part of the scripture, Acts 2:36, and we'll close. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. After all we've just read, be assured, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both the Lord and Christ. Be assured, Jesus is who He says He is. Be assured that Jesus is who He says He is. Be assured that Jesus will work how He says He's going to work. Be assured that the power of the Holy Spirit is for you and for I. And I don't know about you, but I want to see in the end times, I want to see Him pour out on men and women and old men, see visions and young men. See, I want to see that prophecy come forth. Amen. And we'll see it. We'll see it when we understand the truth. We'll see it when we look at Jesus. We'll see it when we open our lives up to Him. A rush of truth. I live in a world today where the enemy has tried to minimize the Holy Spirit and the power of Jesus. And we see broken lives all over the place because of it. In our society, in our culture, the enemy has done everything he can to minimize the power of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you right now, the answer to our world today is still Jesus. It's still the power of the Holy Spirit. It's still going back to what we see when Peter preached this very first sermon of us saying, I'm open, Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, I want to be open to You. Change my life. Transform me so that I can go and I can share Your good news with everyone around me. A rush of truth. No matter what the world says, no matter what the enemy tries to convince this world of, Jesus is alive and well, and the power of His Holy Spirit transforms lives. Amen? And we bow our heads across this place today. I really felt like the thing that the Lord wanted to say, first of all, is if you're in this room and you've not given your life to Jesus, that sermon goes right to the heart, right to the core of where you're at. This gospel was for you. This truth was for you. If you say today, Pastor, I didn't do it the first time around, but I know it's time to give my life to the Lord, will you slip up your hand right now? Is there anybody in this room? Thank you. The Lord loves you so much. You're here for today in a very special moment. Anyone else? We're going to pray with my sister down here together. Will you join? Come on across this place. First of all, let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible says all of heaven rejoices. My friend, we're going to pray together. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. And what happens is a supernatural thing called being born again, where Jesus takes all the broken pieces of your life and puts you back together again. And you need that today, huh? Jesus wants to put you back together again, sister. He loves you so much. Will you pray this prayer with me? And church, let's join in with our friend. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, today I give you my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for putting my life back together again. Today I say, Lord, you drive, and I'll ride. Jesus, thank you for what you did for me. I give you my life. In Jesus' name.